morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. First time in, I think, a little over three years, that I don't have a co-host. And one reason is that the studio is filled with four candidates for the Sedona City Council. And we'll be talking to all of them. People ask me what is the profile of Sedona. There are about 6,000 voters in the Sedona city limits. 2,400 of them are independents, 1,900 of them are Democrats, 1,800 of them are Republican. So it's split fairly evenly in a lot of different ways. But when we go to the council election, the council and mayoral elections in Sedona are done regardless of party. They're nonpartisan elections. And we have four great candidates here today. Why don't you folks introduce yourself, Robert? You want to start? And I guess let's take about 3 or 4 minutes to explain who you are and get people used to your voice and why you're running and if there's something distinctive about your platform. And we'll just kind of go in order.
Hey, I'm Robert O'Donnell. I'm a resident of Sedona for 4 years, been a property owner since 1990. I retired at age 57. And I am focused on trying to make sure that we have a truly balanced budget with no net deficit spending. I want to also focus on the health of the community, the health of the environment, the safety, the controlled development, and the health of companies in Sedona area. I want to make sure that we focus on developing locally and selling globally. I will also bring the residents interests and issues to the council, not just my own, because that's what we need to do is really represent the residents. And that's why I want to run, is to make sure the residents are represented and the businesses are represented on the council.
Robert O'Donnell, Tom Lampkin, you're next.
Thank you, Stephen. My name's Tom Lampkin. I've been in Sedona for just over a year and a half. First came to Sedona in 1993 as a tourist and to the Verde Valley in that same time driving around. I do like to go on day trips with my wife, and we found Sedona and decided we would move here when we retired, which we did. I'm 61 years old, been married 38 years. We really love the Verde Valley. We like to take in all of the different things that they have here. One of the things that I'd like to see improve, perhaps, is to get more collaboration between other communities outside of Sedona. I think we can work together in certain things that could be developed that maybe both or three communities lack. So it would be something that we could work on to put maybe between our cities so that both of us could take advantage of it. There are many things that we're not going to be able to develop within the city limits of our own city here in the Verde Valley. But I think that if we work together, particularly in the areas of economic development, that we can develop some things that may be a benefit to several cities in the area. I look forward to working with the people of Sedona on council if I'm fortunate enough to be elected. I think the thing that I bring mostly is a process of process. What I'd like to see is to make sure that we make the right decisions for the area and for Sedona and for the citizens of Sedona. Often we get locked into certain points of view, maybe some agendas that we think would be the right solutions. And when we actually investigate the differing ideas that people have, we find that the best idea is not our own idea. And we also find that if we explore further, that what we can put into place is sometimes a solution that will work far better than what we thought we'd done in the past, even if we renew some of the old solutions we'd looked at prior to implementing the new ones.
Thank you, Tom. JT, John Thompson.
Thank you, Steve. My name is John Thompson, and I do go by JT. I'm an 8-year resident of Sedona. My wife and I moved here, built a home. We've been married for 45 years and have 2 sons. Grown with grandchildren. And my background is kind of mixed. I have a liberal arts education, a master's degree from Stanford University in English and creative writing. So my mindset is really developed through that avenue, and that's where I got my values for critical thinking and communication, cultural self-awareness, those kinds of things. But my career has been mostly in high-tech management of Silicon Valley companies like Apple's, Silicon Graphics, IBM, a couple of startups. So I've had a work ethic that's grounded in things more like creativity and speed and people who are bouncing off the walls all the time. So it's been an interesting mix for me throughout my career. I retired in 2007, 66 years old. So I have a combination of liberal arts background and high-tech work that I think give me a broad perspective on life in general. Since moving here, actually we've been in Sedona for 8 years, but 2 years before that in the village of Oak Creek. And one of the first things I did when we moved here was to sign up as a litter lifter with Keep Sedona Beautiful. I've been doing that for 10 years. I've also done some volunteer work for Verde Valley Medical Center, the city clerk's office here, right here in Sedona, and Chamber Music Sedona. But the most important thing that I did was a few years ago, I signed up to serve on the Citizens Steering Committee for the new community plan. With my background in technical writing, I thought, well, that's a sensible thing to do. It's a document, and it's going to need someone to edit it and maybe write some chapters and so forth. What I found myself put on a team of 10 other people, some of whom were the most outstanding and respected citizens in our community in a variety of different areas, and they jumped off to a major outreach effort with the community to find out what our vision is for the future. So we had lots of different meetings, communication with the community, and I just really enjoyed that process. After the first year, they elected me their chairman. So for the last 2.5 years, I was even more deeply embedded within city council and staff workings with their agenda and promoting the plan to various groups around the city towards the end. And it was just a very interesting and enjoyable experience, and it gave me a better sense of government, one that I hadn't had before from just watching television news, that city government is and can be very, very effective, and our government is very effective that way. And so I just want to stay a part of that. I want to help us realize our vision for the future that's reflected in the community plan and just continue to serve. Thank you.
Thank you, JT. Keep calling you John. He's got a button on, folks, that says John Thompson on it, so that's not all my fault. Angela Lefevre.
Good morning. I'm Angela Lefevre. I'm running for council. I'm running because I love Sedona. I love its people. I love the community and the outstanding beauty that surrounds us. I feel that the Sedona City Council plays a critical role in protecting all this beauty and all these other elements that contribute to the unique character of our wonderful town. I've been active in this community for 10 years. I've lived here for 10 years, visited many years before that. In fact, the Lefevre family goes back to 1963 when my husband's mother came out here, fell in love with the place, and bought a house, which is still there on Oak Creek Boulevard. We live just up the road. We built our own house in 2004. Being on the council is a huge responsibility, a responsibility which I take very seriously. But I do feel I have the background and experience and qualifications to serve. I have a degree, a bachelor's degree in economics. I have the wherewithal to understand budgeting and how important budgeting is for the council. It's the main function the council does. I do feel that we are very fortunate to have had a previous council that has done terrific work, and that we need to build on that and to follow the progress that the council has made. Like John Thompson, I was on the community plan as a member for over 3 years. I heard the views of the people, your views. We spoke to hundreds and hundreds of people. We read comments, and we got an idea that there are many, many things that folks want here, but it all is filtered through by the environment in which we live, and I think it's really important that we understand that. During the 10 years I've been here, I've been involved in a number of different organizations that deal with the environment, including Keep Sedona Beautiful, and I'm also a trash picker-upper. I've also done other things with KSB2 and been on the board. I'm also presently on the board of the Oak Creek Watershed Council, which does some tremendous work with the creek, ensuring that it's kept clean, checking the waters, and really increasing education as far as litter is concerned and how we should be careful to keep our creek clean. I've also been involved in many other organizations, include the local Democratic Party. However, I'm absolutely thrilled with the idea that I could be a part of a non-partisan organization, a non-partisan council. And I am very, very, very enthused about representing everybody in this community. I think the strength of our council is that it has political views from every single party you can imagine. And I think that strength and that people can learn by listening to opposing views. And I'm hopeful that I can give my very special views to the council. And I look forward to be able to working with the new council in the future years to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Angela. I was deeply impressed. I went to the Sedona City Council meeting on Yavapai College and keeping Yavapai College here in Sedona. And I was deeply impressed because across the board, from the far right to the left, everyone came together to help keep our college here. It was an impressive display. Everybody came from a different background, had a different reason, a different take on things. It was a really impressive performance, and I haven't seen that since I was on a jury. And if you're on a jury and people come together and everybody is contributing, it's a dynamic and interesting situation. I guess let's start with an abstract question, and then we'll go to more. So what we'll start with Angela. What can the city council do to be more effective, and how can, and I think it was Tom that raised it, how can we do more like the Yavapai, saving the college here, to connect up with the rest of Yavapai County, but also Coconino County, but particularly the Verde Valley, because many of our listeners are scattered all over the Verde Valley. What can Sedona do to connect up with them? How can the council be, it's effective now, how can it be even more effective? And
That's a good question. Yes, we have a fairly effective council. I think we can reach out better than this council does. I know some of the individual councillors do meet with their constituents, and I would like to, in fact, one of my recommendations is that every council member would be given at least one homeowners, probably more than one, because there are that many associations, homeowner associations in our area, that each one would have two or three or how many it took, that they would be responsible to going to their meetings. Because I found during this period of campaigning that everything is local. They talk about local. Everything is local. This is local in the sense of, you know, small areas. I'm talking about homeowners associations. I'm talking about parts of town which have their own particular interests. So, for instance, West Sedona and parts of West Sedona have specific problems, specific issues compared to, say, Uptown, which has huge traffic problems, for instance, which we need to look at. So I believe if we reach out to the community, not just expecting, you know, them to come to us, we need to go out to them. I think that would make a more effective council.
JT?
I think Angela has a good point about the homeowners associations. I would certainly be in favor of that kind of outreach. I think the closer we stay to our individual constituents, the better. There's a danger that we would also want to avoid, and that is becoming so neighborhood-centric that we forget what we share in common. That was the one of the goals of the community plan, of course, is to say what is it that we share and make sure that we go in a direction that represents all of that. So, yeah, I don't think those things are at odds. I think There are individual problems that have to do with certain specific areas, but you just don't want to have a kind of a, like a class thing develop where people are different and labeled different ways because of the neighborhood that they're in. I think that would be unfortunate. But you mentioned about regional concerns, and I think that's important. Counselors getting together from different communities would be enjoyable. I think that would be fun to do. I wonder, I don't know, and I would like to find out what the our different county representatives do by way of that. If they have programs to get the different communities together, I would love to participate in those as well. I think there are regional issues. When you talk about water, for example, that's a good example of something that we need to be talking about together. Thank you.
Tom?
Thank you, Stephen. I would like to say that I think the biggest thing we can do is to look at the communication that we really have between the city and the citizens of the Sedona area. One of the things I think is the people want to pull together. They're just not sure how to pull together. Do I go to the city meetings, the council meetings? Do I look on the website? Do I complain to my neighbor? What is it that can really draw us together? And there's a lot of misinformation that causes division that could be eliminated. I think it would be good if the council send a representative to your station once every couple of weeks and update people on what's really going on. Or take out an ad in the Red Rock News for half a page. It says, let us update you on the current issues. The city sometimes gets so focused internally on the things that are just affecting Sedona, they get bogged down in the detail. Let's look at just this wastewater issue. Let's look at the performers uptown. Let's look at where's the music venue going to be. What can we do regionally that might expand that we could share? For example, we're not going to plant grapes uptown in Sedona, but there are vineyards around. Perhaps we could embrace and work in some way to develop working with the college and how do you become a real connoisseur and develop wines and create an area that we might be able to develop jointly. So I would look at that. I think an example would be people say, well, the sewer tax is a hassle. Why don't we pay that off earlier? Why don't we get rid of it? We don't like it. And the answer is get educated about it. Do you realize that the bonds we have may have a very low interest rate and they may not be callable or be callable and affect them? So there are certain reasons that make real sense of why we don't want to affect that at this time. So let's educate people so they can move on to something that's more circular in the entire area that could lift up the entire region rather than small specific items. And I'm not saying that's a small issue. It's a very important issue. But once you get educated on it, you may actually find out why it makes sense to leave it like it is.
Robert O'Donnell.
Well, we need to be more of a listening organization instead of just deciding what we're going to do. So we need to listen to the community. We need to get out to the community. If I get elected to council, I will always be available to any community person that's out there that wants to reach out to me. I have my email address out there, my phone number. I am easily accessible. The challenge with listening to people and finding out what their opinions are is that a lot of our neighborhoods are people have signs set up, no soliciting. They don't want people coming up to the door and knocking at them. But we do need to find out the interests of the community. We need to encourage new startup situations in Sedona, new events to be starting up. We need to encourage that. And then once an event becomes sustainable, then we need to remove the funds from that and use them for other startups, because I'd love to see year-round events going on in Sedona that are always bringing people to the community. So that's what I think we need to do, and we need to encourage, for instance, when you talk about Yavapai College, encourage Sedona to be looked at as a place to come for education, a place to come for filming education, for arts, and even health. Even our own health center here, we can improve that by having that be a place to learn how to be a health provider.
Let's take a nitty-gritty issue. CVS. A chain of drugstores wants to build a drugstore right where Airport Road and 89A meet. So, start with you, Robert. Thrilled with the idea, not so thrilled. What's your take on having a drugstore there? They will need a change in zoning in order to build it because they need a much bigger parking lot than they're allowed, and they would need a change, I think, from residential to commercial.
Because of the zoning change, that's where we have a chance to give input and decide if we want that or not. It's not just because we don't want necessarily another pharmacy. And we do have three pharmacies in town. We have Safeway, we have one in Bash's, and we have one in Walgreens. Do we really need a CVS pharmacy? Probably not. However, the only way to stop that is to say no to their zoning. If they want to still build within the approved zoning locations, then we can't necessarily stop it. And I myself, we benefit from CVS Pharmacy being in town because my own health plan requires me to go to CVS Pharmacy for my continuing prescription. So I have to drive to Cottonwood. But it's not necessarily the best for me. But I would be against CVS Pharmacy to be here because of the best interest of Sedona.
Tom?
I'm not necessarily against CVS coming into Sedona. What I'm more concerned about really is the traffic and the congestion that it may cause right at the bottom of Airport Road. When you've got the hill going there and people coming up and down, that's a major artery it goes through. Traffic is one of the greater concerns of Sedona today. And I would wish that they had found a place uptown, quite honestly, maybe not even on 89A, because when tourists get off the buses, when people are uptown and they need to go to a pharmacy, they're going to have to go around. It increases the traffic going up and down Cooks Hill. If we had a place, and I was in Telluride, and I saw it downtown, and I thought, wow, this is really nice that they have a pharmacy here. People often say, where's the nearest pharmacy? Because I walk around as a volunteer ranger. And they say, where can I get this? And I said, look, sorry, you're going to have to get in your car or take a cab out if you really need to get a prescription filled, because we don't have something uptown. We need to plan a little bit. This comes down to the planning of the community and what do we really need. Can we use another pharmacy? Not sure, but it might be nice to have one more in the uptown area than it would be just right on 89A in West Sedona.
JT?
Well, I can still say, because I'm a private citizen, that I'm not terribly excited about the idea of a CVS pharmacy coming to Sedona. I think what I would like to see in Sedona is more of the kind of retail development that we don't have, as opposed to things that we have in good supply right now. We're a small enough community that I would like to fill in the things that we don't have. Now, as a city councilor, I think it's going to be a very different situation. I think we need to be very careful as public servants that we don't show any prejudice to any kind of development. But that's why we have a community plan that says this is the direction we want to go. We have a community plan that says we want to avoid monoculture and franchise types of development because it's not in keeping with our small town community. That doesn't mean we can't have any fast food restaurant or a name brand department store or whatever. But it means that we want to look like a small town and not look like any town USA. And how do we manage to do that when there are individual property rights that say if the CVS Corporation owns that land, they have a right to build there? You mentioned yourself that they're requesting a zoning change, and that's one of the tools that we have to prevent those kinds of things from happening. If they request a zoning change, we have the right to say, no, you can't have that zoning change. But if they want to build in a commercial area and they stay within that commercial area the way it's zoned, they have every right to do that, and we should do whatever we can to be welcoming to any kind of retail or other kind of development that comes that meets our requirements. It's a complex situation. It really is. And we have other kinds of development coming in the hotel industry in particular, that has a similar likelihood of changing the culture or the look of our town. And I've actually blogged about this just yesterday, and it went up on my website, this very issue. And I'm at SedonaJohn.org. That's John without an H, SedonaJohn.org. If you look at my blog there, you can see some more detail about this issue.
Angela.
Yes, this is really a question of planned development that we are going to be seeing coming into this city. I think we all moved here because we loved the small city, the feel of it being a small place without the large box type of stores. We are used to going over to Cottonwood to deal with those kind of large stores, and Sedona, we like to remain small. I think that's kind of the majority of us would feel that way. So as far as the CVS is concerned, yes, we're bringing a large store. Is it one that we really need? However, I've been told by PNC that you can't use that as an excuse for not having it, that we already have a store, we already have a Walgreens. Why do we need a CVS? That's not enough to stop it. I believe I look at it this way from the people's perspective. I've canvassed throughout that area, spoken to people. I've met the Homeowners Association at Saddle Rock, which is the community which would be most directly affected by building the CVS. They are extremely concerned. As JT said, there's a hotel supposedly going in there too, at least one, maybe two hotels in that very area. That crossroads is one of the worst in the area in West Sedona. It's one of the busiest. To bring in more development there is going to have a huge impact on our infrastructure. The people there don't want it. It's also taking residential land away from us, and we cannot afford to take residential land away. So part of that zone changing will affect our ability to have residential area, more residential area in that area. So from a point of view of the people who live there, I think it's a very, very questionable development. I think as a question of need, it's not what we need. However, do we have the right or ability to say no? We have a very small opening because the fact that it is a zoning change. For me personally, I don't like the idea. I was at the PNC meeting when this was discussed, and I heard the CVS representatives talking about how wonderful they are and what wonderful things they do. And they were willing to change some of the signage and so on to make it fit in more with Sedona, just like I guess McDonald's has done here. So we have to listen. I think as a potential councillor, I would listen, hear all the sides, but you have to kind of from what I see, from what's been happening right now, I'm very skeptical.
Just to remind folks that Sedona has no property tax. All of its revenue comes from fees and almost entirely from sales taxes. I wanted to ask all of you, what should the relationship of Sedona be to various nonprofits? We have large nonprofits like the library, the Humane Society, and many others, and we have small nonprofits, and the city gives considerable amount of money to the nonprofits. And one of the nonprofits that it gives the most money to is the Sedona Chamber of Commerce. And so what do you think should be the relationship of the council and city funds to these nonprofits? Should we continue what we're doing? Should we expand it? What's the basis for giving money? I think pretty much everybody's getting the idea that it is the tourist industry that brings in a tremendous amount of our revenue. So the argument is that if you increase tourism, you'll increase revenue. So let's start with Angela. Any way you want to answer that question or parts of it?
I do feel that we should continue giving grants, because I think some of the things like Recycle Center, the library, all the various other organizations that we support, not only I think do a good job or function which the city doesn't do, so they do it for us, so therefore we support them, but I think also they in themselves do important things for our community and provide us with revenues. As Steve, you just mentioned, if you look at the Chamber of Commerce, they're also our tourist organization. They are the ones who are developing a tourist program. They're marketing it, destination marketing, so that people will come here to Sedona. They've done a lot of research. I've read the research, and it's quite compelling as to how huge tourism is to our economy, and it's an economic driver. On the side, I would just say that does concern me. I'd like to see a more diversified economy and not dependent so much on tourism. I do feel that if we are going to give out grants, that we should open it up for bid so that it's fairer and so that not just one organization takes it. In some cases, there aren't going to be others, but I would say as far as tourism is concerned, marketing is concerned, maybe that's what we should do. We should look at, because it is a lot of money. And this is money that is coming from our community and could be used for other things. We have a real stress on our budget, and so we have to analyze every single thing that we pay for. But again, I do believe that even the Humane Society, which was such a controversial issue very, very recently because they of the increase they wanted from the grant, I don't think, personally, I thought that the council did the right thing. They were able to finally communicate and discuss and come to, I don't know if they've come to a solution yet, but to work with the Humane Society and hopefully come to a result which would be economically good for the community. Thank you.
JT.
Nonprofit organizations are particularly vulnerable financially when you compare them to regular businesses, because they have a requirement to basically, you know, get to zero at the end of every year. They can't prepare as well for ups and downs of the economy. And it's also sometimes very difficult to get a nonprofit going, because most of them depend heavily on donations from supporters. And in order to get that traction, you have to have something there already. It's hard to get a start. So I think as far as supporting nonprofits within Sedona, I think those are the two things we need to look at. We need to look at great ideas that come along that have the potential to really improve our quality of life, and we need to find a way to identify those accurately and give them the help to get started when necessary. We can do that proactively, too, if we do a careful analysis of things that we need in our community, and there are maybe a few people who are expert in that. We can encourage them to get something going and give them a little seed money to start that up. I see absolutely nothing wrong with that. And then once they get going, there are times when they're going to have trouble because the economy turns down and their contributors dry up a little bit. And we need to make sure that the good ones can continue to operate and provide some support for them. And that's where the small grants program is very helpful. It's exactly the right kind of program for this. We dedicate a certain amount of money every year, and those applications are very extensive, and they're very well vetted. We have a very good process for evaluating them and making sure that the right amount of money goes out to them. As far as the Chamber of Commerce, there's an example of an organization that is so large and so important to us that we're almost at a partnership level. And those things happen when, you know, kind of organically as organizations get bigger. I think the film festival is another one that's getting close to that, if it hasn't already reached that point where there's almost a mutual dependency between the city and the nonprofit. And those you have to almost look at in a different way and say, how are we operating, and are we funding them in the right way? I honestly don't know the exact right answer to that. I do feel like the doubling of the money that was given to the Chamber of Commerce this year seems like a really big step up. I'm not sure that's the right way to go, but I'm not one of those people who likes to look back and question past decisions. It was done. The council is a good council. They did very thorough research on it. If they feel that was the right way to go, then I say let's put our good work behind it and see if we can make it happen.
Tom?
Yes, I ask you just to restate the question quickly again so our listeners will know what we're responding to.
You know, Sedona has many nonprofits. It has great big nonprofits, you know, like the library, and it has small nonprofits. And it dispenses a lot of funds to the nonprofit. And so the question is, what should be the relationship to the city and city funds to these various nonprofits. There was controversy about the Humane Society, how much money they got. There was controversy when the city upped its contribution to the Chamber of Commerce for destination marketing. There's controversy about these groups, and there's competition for smaller grants among people, Tom.
Okay, thank you very much, Stephen. I would say that whether or not it's a nonprofit is sort of a side issue, because what I would look at is what is the best use of the money that the people of Sedona bring to the city for it to use. And I would say that if it's a case where a 501c3 is the right solution because they provide that service, we need to make sure that we don't cause them to become too dependent upon us. To JT's point, it's easy for somebody to go out of business that may be a nonprofit, but it's just as easy for a business to go out of business. I would say, for example, why don't we do those things that the Humane Society was doing for us, ourselves in the city, and organize that department? Well, it may be cheaper and a better use to outsource that service to the community or to a vendor that could do it better than the city itself. It may be a wiser choice. I don't know, but if you look at the number of dogs that the city actually took in and were responsible for, I think it was very low in response to where did the source come from for the need for the city. For example, 40 dogs, 43 dogs, I don't know what the exact number was, but if you look at how many the city actually picked up in its operations with a dog catcher or whatever, compared to how many were turned in by citizens of Sedona themselves, it may make sense that we're not to be in that business, and it may be better to go to Cottonwood or somewhere else and provide that. I know that the Humane Society accepted the offer, and so it's going to continue. But I would say that we need to look at where is the best use of the city's money and who can provide that service the best. If it's a nonprofit, great. If it's not, and traditionally, library service is something you think about the city. Go back to the infrastructure and the needs to the plan that Angela and JT have been talking about. What does the city plan say we should be doing in terms of these areas? Are we supposed to support all these areas? We need to be very careful we don't reach out too far into areas that are not a part of a city's responsibility.
Robert O'Donnell.
As far as the nonprofits go, for instance, like the library, most likely is not going to bring in a lot of money, even though hopefully they will get a lot of contributions. But they're more challenged, and I think we need to support that because the people want that. As far as Sedona Recycles, people don't think about the fact how much it costs to recycle. And if we did not support the Sedona Recycles plan, we would be charging people, and people would probably say, I'm not going to pay for recycling, and just throw away the stuff instead of recycle it. And I think Sedona should set the standard instead of be behind the times, because you go to any large city, and they have recycling plans in their trash pickup. So why not have that here? So I do strongly support the recycling. As far as the Humane Society goes, it's related to, yes, I do believe in supporting it because I am an animal lover and I think it should be there. As far as the relationship goes, if we're supporting the Humane Society, we should also have it listed as far as on our government listings in the phone book that if you want to license your dog, you go to the Humane Society. When I first moved here 4 years ago, I looked to try to find out where do I license my dog. There was nothing in the phone book to tell me that. So I didn't license my dog. Finally, a couple of years ago, I did license my dog because I found out that the Humane Society does it. So it's good to outsource some things, and we should do that. And like I've already said before, we need to help support with our grant program startup events. But once they become sustainable, they should have their costs reduced. And with the chamber issue, they're helping us with our destination marketing, and as long as they're doing a good job and is accountable, we should be helping pay for that. But if they're not doing the job and they don't show us the accountability, then we should reconsider how we use those funds.
I'm going to go to my famous garbage question. In my small town in Oklahoma where I was raised, we had the municipal, you paid taxes, the garbage trucks came around. One truck stopped at everybody's house. You couldn't opt in or out. And it picked up the garbage, extremely efficient. Here we have four different garbage companies going around, rumbling through neighborhoods with these giant trucks, which when I briefly studied physics, these huge trucks really damage the pavement far more than like 100 cars. So should we have a franchise? Should the city negotiate with the company? Should we keep the system like it is? Because right now, you know, you have, in my neighborhood, one company will go and pick up garbage, and it'll go five houses down and pick up garbage, and then the next day another company will come through. And so it's inefficient, but it is free enterprise. So what is your folks' take on garbage?
Robert. As far as the trash pickup, I am for competition, and certainly we should allow companies to compete for that. However, the challenge with so many companies in town is, like, for instance, this morning, the trash company came by at my house at 6 o'clock in the morning. We need to have more reasonable times for pickup. And if we have too many companies, they can't do that because we don't want all four companies to be coming down the street at the same time. So they have to adjust their time. So we need to manage the amount of competition and manage the times and say they can only pick up within certain hours.
Tom?
You know, I've heard this story, and this question has come up before, and I'm aware of it. Everybody's aware of it in Sedona. You wonder why. I came from a large city. Like you said, trash was in, sewer was in, the water was all kind of together. Here it's separate. And as far as competition, I'm all for competition. But you can have competition by having the three or four haulers compete, put bids into the city, and let the city manage selecting one for everybody. We, again, could outsource it to that one company. There's no real reason for the city itself to provide that service if it's going to cost more to create that infrastructure. I will tell you, recently, my trash hauler was charging me a certain amount. A competitor came to my front door and said, I'll do it for half the price. And I said, how can you do it for half the price? And he said, well, if we can get more people on the street, we can reduce our cost because we spread it out as we get more and more customers. To me, the best way to do that would be to get everybody on one trash hauler. That way you do save the streets. You don't have all the traffic trucks coming up and down. And you would get the best rate, because if I'm a trash hauler and I get 1,000 customers instead of 10 customers, certainly my rate's going to be able to go down. Thank you.
JT?
Well, I know this came up last week when you were talking to the mayors, and I think their answers were pretty good. I think it's something that could be looked at. I just don't think it's probably one of our highest priority items right now.
You don't think garbage is our highest priority item, JT? Oh my!
Well, you know, when you look at the things that are in the community plan, and I don't think the word trash appears in the community plan. But when you look at the things that are in there, and then you look at the things that are that people have raised, even things that we can't do anything about in this city, it just doesn't hit the top 10, I don't think. But having said that, I do think there are some interesting aspects to it. One of the things that hasn't been mentioned is the community plan, and most citizens agree that we want to protect our environment, and that has to do with things like recycling. And trash haulers now have gotten very, very creative and very good about doing recycling things as part of the trash pickup. So that's something we might want to look at.
Angela.
Well, we actually are the company that does our trash pickup also does recycling. So now we put our recycling bin out there too, which I think is about time, so we don't have to haul our stuff off to the recycling center, which is a big help. So I'm all for having recycling and trash pickup together. And another thing that you could do, if you don't want to have just one company, I like the idea of putting it out to bid, get the best price. But what you could also do is maybe divide the city into two or three different areas and have a different trash pickup for each area. That way you don't get rid of all four, or you just have one. You could have two or three different trash pickup companies that would be servicing different parts of the city.
Why don't you each tell us, give you your name, and if you have a website, an address to the website, Angela, you want to start?
Sure.
So you can get more information, folks, about the candidates' plans and views.
Yes, I do have a website and a Facebook page. It's angelaforsedona.com.
JT?
Mine is SedonaJohn, SedonaJohn.org.
Tom Lampkin, just send me a note to my email and I'll get back to you immediately. It's at shiningInSedona, one word, @gmail.com.
Robert O'Donnell, and my email address is rod4council@yahoo.com.
Okay. Thank you, all of you, for coming into our show today. Really appreciate you coming in, and I hope folks have learned something about various candidates. Thank you very much. This will be available as a podcast at vvid.org in 2 days.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.